Hello and welcome to Introduction to Meteorology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa with Dr. Jennifer Griswold. Thank you for joining us. In today's lecture, we're going to talk about hurricanes, why they form, where they form, the type of damage associated with, and why they decay. In preparation for today's lecture, you should have read through the first half of Chapter 11 from the Aaron's text. Last lecture, we talked about the formation and observation of tornadoes that rotate counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere and are low-pressure systems, though on a very small spatial scale compared to hurricanes. Today, we're going to go into detail about hurricanes, which also rotate counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere and have a low-pressure center. Hurricanes are formed where there is a consistent heating of the surface, high humidity, and the potential for cumulus and cumulonimbus clouds. These requirements are met in the tropics. Most Atlantic hurricanes are formed after the formation of a tropical wave near Africa. The trade winds blow from east, northeast, or southeast. Meteorologists use streamlines or lines that show where the wind is blowing to see where the air is coming from and going to. These trade winds can be disturbed by a tropical or easterly wave. These waves travel from east to west at 10 to 20 knots and are associated with the formation of a trough. Once a trough is formed, there will be areas of converging and diverging air. The converging air rises and cools behind the trough, forming clouds. These pockets of clouds associated with the converging air behind the trough are called tropical waves and can grow into hurricanes. Hurricanes are called by other names depending where on Earth they occur. These great storms are called hurricanes in the Atlantic and East Pacific Oceans, cyclones in the Indian Ocean near Australia, and typhoons off the coast of China and Indonesia. Tropical cyclones have a specific life cycle, just like mid-latitude cyclones and thunderstorms. The general stages of development are as follows. First, the storm is called a tropical depression, when the surface wind is less than 39 miles per hour or 33 knots. Second, the storm is called a tropical storm, when the surface wind is greater than or equal to 39 but less than or equal to 74 miles per hour, or 33 and 64 knots. And third, the storm is called a hurricane, or another name based on the location where it forms, when the wind reaches greater than 74 miles per hour or 64 knots. Hurricanes are known as the greatest storms on Earth. They are strong centers of low pressure with sustained winds greater than 74 miles per hour or 64 knots to be considered a Category 1 hurricane. We'll discuss the hurricane rating system later in the podcast. There are, on average, around 45 hurricanes around the world every year. Sizes of hurricanes vary widely from 60 miles to 900 miles in diameter. The typical size is around 400 miles in diameter. The latent heat release by condensation in one day of a storm's existence is equivalent to about 6 months of energy usage by the entire U.S. These storms can last for days to weeks. In order to form a hurricane, you need specific conditions. First, you need warm ocean temperatures greater than 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 27 degrees Celsius. You need hot water because you need lots of evaporation. These warm temperatures only happen equatorward of 20 north and 20 south. Secondly, you need this hot water to go down deep, at least 200 meters into the ocean. When the winds churn up the ocean, you don't want to bring up cold water from below. Having a deep, hot layer of water allows you to continuously have a warm ocean surface, even with large waves and mixing. This only happens equatorward of 20 north and south. Lastly, you need the Coriolis effect to initiate the spinning. We know that the Coriolis force is zero at the equator, thus hurricanes form at latitudes greater than 5 degrees north and south. That leaves us with a 15-degree band around the northern and southern hemisphere from 5 to 20 north and from 5 to 20 south where hurricanes can form. From space, hurricanes are seen with various instruments and satellites. Hurricanes are clearly much broader than they are tall. We can use satellite-derived cloud heights based on infrared measurements of temperature to determine how tall the clouds are. This helps us understand where the most severe thunderstorms are located in the hurricane. Another important fact is that hurricane intensity changes over time, either increasing or decreasing in intensity. A hurricane can intensify under certain conditions. First, weak vertical shear can allow the energy from condensation to be concentrated over a smaller area. Second, relatively moist, humid air in the upper troposphere allows for lots of condensation. Third, having a cold upper atmosphere creates a strong pressure gradient force, thus contributing to fast wind speeds associated with the storm. Let's talk a little about hurricane structure. As air rushes inward in a spiral pattern, bands of clouds and thunderstorms are formed. When you are located closest to the eye, you would experience the most severe thunderstorms with the most intense rain and wind. In the actual eye, you would generally experience clear skies and calm air. Note, though most diagrams show hurricanes with three rings or bands, there can be more than three sets of thunderstorm bands associated with the storm. The number is arbitrary for diagrams. The hurricane force winds spiral counterclockwise at the surface, and warm, moist air is lofted up into the spiral-banded thunderstorms, and there are concentric currents spinning up around the eye. At the top of the storm, there is outflow, which forms the typical disc shape of the storms. Helping this can be cool, dense air aloft, as mentioned earlier. We can clearly see the rain bands associated with thunderstorms when we view hurricanes with radar. If we get good data, we can usually identify a clear eye, a band of intense storms around the eye, and bands of intense storms spiraling out from the center, though the spiral band storms are not usually as intense as those in the eye wall. The eye is the center of the storm. In the eye, the air is converging towards the center, spiraling downward and inward. There is a very intense high pressure located above the eye. Because of this high pressure sinking air, we experience subsiding air and clear skies. Eyes are typically 30 to 60 miles in diameter. We talked about how hurricanes happen in different ocean basins and that there needs to be some specific physical requirements, temperature and rotation that need to be met. That means that hurricanes only form in certain places. Remember, we needed water that is warmer than 80 degrees Fahrenheit to a depth of about 200 meters along with the Coriolis effect. We also need a surface low pressure to be present with both unstable air and moisture throughout a deep layer of the atmosphere, ideally with very low wind shear. The regions that satisfy all of the requirements are limited to the tropical Atlantic in the northern hemisphere, the eastern tropical Pacific near Mexico, the western tropical Pacific in the northern hemisphere near Indonesia, the western tropical Pacific in the southern hemisphere near northern Australia, and the tropical Indian Ocean in both the northern hemisphere near India and the southern Indian Ocean near northwest Australia through Madagascar and coastal Africa. We can look at maps of historical hurricanes and tropical storms as a function of their intensity and see that the majority of the storms form in these predictable regions, with a peak in the western northern hemisphere tropical Pacific. However, there has been a single case to be exact, of a Brazilian hurricane. Why would this event be considered rare? Well, hurricanes don't happen often in the South Atlantic. The wind shear in this region is much greater than in the northern hemisphere tropical Atlantic and Caribbean. This region is unlike the northern part of the ocean, and in the southern region, the strong wind shear is present nearly all the time. Secondly, there is generally no intertropical convergence zone in the southern hemisphere, so the rising unstable moist air is typically concentrated in the northern hemisphere. For the U.S., our major area of concern regarding hurricanes is the tropical Atlantic. The Gulf Stream is intimately connected with how hurricanes travel and affect the U.S. Remember that the Gulf Stream is a warm ocean current heading north along the east coast. Hurricanes travel along the warm Gulf Stream steered by the west-to-east flow of the westerlies and the jet stream. We see hurricane occurrence peaking between August and October, with the peak in September. Though you can still get some hurricanes between May and November, with their records of tropical storms in December through April. While we haven't addressed the specifics behind the rating scale, most folks know that hurricanes are rated from 1 to 5, with 1 being the least dangerous and 5 being the most dangerous. If we looked at the statistics and information about hurricanes from 1900 to 2009, we'd see that there have been 66 documented Category 1 landfalls, where the hurricane hit the U.S., 45 Category 2s, 55 Category 3s, 14 Category 4s, and 3 Category 5s. The 3 Category 5s include Katrina, Rita, and Andrew. You may be wondering how these storms are named. A storm is named when it reaches tropical storm strength, which, if you remember from earlier in the podcast, is between 40 and 74 miles per hour. Between 1953 and 1977, they only used women's names. Now they alternate male and female names. Specific names are retired if the storm causes enough damage. For instance, Katrina and Rita were retired from the list. They have names for potential future storms going out many years. This year's 2014 storm names start with Arthur, Bertha, Cristobal, Dolly, Edward, Faye, and Gonzalo. Feel free to Google the rest of the names. Oh, and there are no Q, X, Y, or Z names on the lists. For our final topic today, we're going to talk about hurricane damage, wind damage, storm surges, and flooding. Then we'll talk about the rating scales and when the Weather Service warns communities about the impending danger. Let's start with wind damages. Hurricanes move at about 45 miles per hour. Some move slower, some more quickly. The spiraling converging air moves at a much faster velocity. The velocity of the winds you experience depends on your location within the hurricane. You add the wind speed of motion to the wind speed of rotation. For example, if it's rotating at 100 miles per hour and moving forward at 45, you would experience a speed of 145, or 100 plus 45 miles per hour. You subtract the wind speed of motion from that of the rotation when it's moving away from you. So if the storm was moving away, you would have 100 minus 45, or experience 65 mile per hour winds. Our second type of damage associated with hurricanes is that caused by storm surge. The storm surge is the abnormal rise of the sea along the shore as the result of strong winds. The storm surge can be quite high as 7 meters or 21 feet, though they're typically on the order of 1 to 2 meters. On top of this, waves of around 6 to 15 meters can occur. As an example, storm surges can be devastating for low-lying communities. In 1991, Bangladesh was hit by a storm with a surge of 6 meters, which is around 20 feet, along with winds of 155 miles per hour. Bangladesh's average elevation is only 2 meters. The storm officially killed at least 138,000 people, leaving as many as 10 million homeless. There are unofficial estimates that there were many more deaths, perhaps 500,000, as well as about 1 million cattle. The storm was only a Category 4 when it made landfall. The third type, and in most cases most deadly, is flooding. The flooding is caused by the intense rains associated with the thunderstorms. The rain accumulates often too quickly for the soil or rivers and streams to cope. In severe situations, rain accumulation can be up to 10 feet per day. The current record is 15 feet per day, though typical numbers are between 1 and 3 feet per day. Every storm is given a designation based on the wind speed. The scale we use is called the Saffir-Simpson scale and is used to rate the relative intensities of hurricanes. A Category 1, inflicting minimal damage, has wind speeds of 74 to 95 miles per hour. A Category 2, with moderate damage, has wind speeds of 96 to 110 miles per hour. A Category 3, with major damage, has wind speeds of 111 to 130 miles per hour. A Category 4, with extensive damage, has wind speeds of 131 to 155 miles per hour. A Category 5 storm with catastrophic damage has winds exceeding 155 miles per hour. Hurricanes don't last forever. While they may increase and decrease in intensity during the life cycle, they will eventually dissipate. You may be asking what causes this. First, hurricanes decay when conditions become unfavorable for hurricanes to sustain their wind and energy. If the storm passes over cold water with temperatures below 80 degrees Fahrenheit, the storm will weaken since it loses its heat source. Second, if the storm passes over land, it is slowed down by friction, disrupting the circulation and limiting the moisture source. Third, if the storm moves into a region with shearing winds aloft, the storm will start to decay. Tropical storms and hurricanes are vertically stacked systems, and hostile upper-level wind conditions produce shearing, which blows off the high cloud tops of these storms and causes them to become disorganized. Finally, if the storm moves into a region with sinking air, it will start to decay as well. Sinking air or subsidence from high pressure, such as a subtropical ridge, can also inhibit development or prevent further development. Sinking air from high pressure hinders thunderstorm development, which is a critical element in hurricane strengthening. You may at last be asking, when do meteorologists tell the communities about potential hurricane dangers? Prediction centers send out both hurricane watches and hurricane warnings. A hurricane watch is issued when a hurricane poses a direct threat to an area. They are issued by the National Hurricane Center usually 24 to 48 hours before the storm's arrival. A hurricane warning, also issued by the National Hurricane Center, is usually sent out within 36 hours when it appears that the storm will strike an area and make landfall. The warning is accompanied by a percentage chance of the hurricane center passing within 65 miles of a particular community. That finishes up our lecture on hurricane formation, intensification, decay, damage, and the rating scale. Thanks for listening, and I hope you join us again for our next podcast. Goodbye!